Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gravita India Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Steve. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I would like to welcome all the participants on the 4Q FY24 earnings call of Gravita India. From the management, we have Mr. Yogesh Malhotra, Whole-time Director and CEO, Mr. Vijay Parikh, Executive Director, Mr. Naveen Prakash Sharma, Executive Director, and Mr. Sunil Kansal, CFO, on the call. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Malhotra for opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Malhotra.
Thank you, Mr. Manish. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Q4 and financial year 2024 earnings call. I trust you have had the chance to go through the earnings presentation and financial results that were uploaded on the stock exchanges. I'm delighted to announce that Gravita has delivered outstanding performance for the quarter and the financial year 2024. We have achieved record high revenue, EBITDA, and PAT for the quarter as well as for financial year 2024, despite some logistics disruptions. Before we delve into the results, I would like to share some strategic highlights and project updates. I'm pleased to announce that Pure-Lead produced at Gravita's Mundra, Gujarat, has been impaneled as an approved lead brand deliverable against MCX Lead Futures contract. The Pure-Lead manufactured by Chittoor and Phagi plants of the company are already MCX-paneled products. The MCX impanelment will provide us with an additional platform for hedging better inventory management and price transparency in the domestic market. Gravita's step-down wholly-owned subsidiary situated in Tanzania, Gravita Tanzania Limited, has increased the battery recycling capacity by 5,000 metric tons per annum, bringing the total capacity of battery recycling of this unit to 12,000 metric tons per annum. CapEx of approximately 3.5 crore rupees has been done for this capacity expansion, and the same has been facilitated through internal accruals. The board of directors have approved an interim dividend of ₹5.2 per equity share, making Gravita a consistent dividend player with a 13-year-long track record of sustainable dividend payouts. Our conviction lies in the interdependence of our success with the well-being of our employees, the environment, and the communities that we engage with. We have created a clear ESG roadmap through which we affirm our dedication to sustainable growth and making a positive difference. In our ESG roadmap, we have clearly outlined our short-term, medium-term, and long-term targets that are expected to be met by financial year 2027, financial year 2034, and financial year 2050, respectively. You can find the detailed ESG roadmap on our website. Coming to the operational performance, on the capacity expansion front, Gravita has expanded its total capacity to 300,000+ metric tons per annum in financial year 2024 compared to 234,000 metric tons per annum in financial year 2023, which shows an increase of 29%. We aim to increase our capacity to 500,000+ metric tons per annum by financial year 2027. Discussing about the volumes, sales volume saw a sequential increase of 9% in financial year 2024 and 14% in Q4 financial year 2024. Lead and plastic volume increased by 25% and 8% to 40,634 tons and 3,540 tons on a year-on-year basis, whereas aluminum volume dropped to approximately 3,200 tons. The reason for drop in aluminum volume is to avoid high risk of metal price fluctuation during transit period for imports in India. As you are aware that we are in process of finding solution for hedging of aluminum, we are pleased to inform you that aluminum alloy has been notified under Securities Contract Regulation Act 1956 by Ministry of Finance, and we are expecting launch of this aluminum alloy commodity derivative on MCX by next quarter. This will help us in managing the risk of price volatility and in turn help us in scaling our aluminum business. Coming to quarterly EBITDA per ton performance, EBITDA per ton for plastic is ₹11,176 per ton, lead is ₹19,252 per metric ton, and aluminum is ₹15,308 per metric ton in Q4 financial year 2024. This is in line with the company's target. Moving to financial results, I am delighted to share that we have achieved record high financial performance quarterly as well as annually. Gravita has achieved an outstanding 5-year revenue CAGR and PAT CAGR of 21% and 74% respectively. Revenue for financial year 24 increased by 13% to rupees 3,161 crores. 45% of revenue in financial year 24 came from value-added products, which is in line with our vision of achieving 50% revenues from this category. India contributed 62% and the balance contribution of 38% is from overseas business. Adjusted EBITDA for financial year 24 increased to rupees 331 crore, up 16%. PAT showed significant increase of 19% to rupees 239 crores in financial year 24. PAT margin increased to 7.6%. ROC for financial year is standing strong at 25%, which is in line with our vision 2028. Coming to Q4 financial year 24, revenue for the quarter increased by 15% to rupees 863 crores on year-on-year basis. 44% of revenue in Q4 FY24 came from value-added products, in line with our target to reach 50% of overall revenue from value-added products. On a year-on-year and a quarter-on-quarter basis, adjusted EBITDA increased by 9% and 4% respectively to rupees 93 crores. EBITDA margin stood strong at 11%. Gravita reported a PAT of rupees 69 crores with 8% and 14% growth on year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter basis respectively. PAT margin remained steady at 8%. Further, we would like to also clarify on the qualification of recent financial statements with respect to accounting treatment of sale of shares held by trust for benefit of employees of Gravita. The qualification is just difference of interpretation of accounting standards which needs to be understood. Gravita Employee Welfare Trust acquired certain shares of the company in the last few years with an objective to distribute, utilize the gains of the fund for benefits of employees of Gravita. During the year, 380,500 equity shares held by the Gravita Employee Welfare Trust have been sold and the capital gain or surplus from the said sale will be utilized for the welfare of the employees of Gravita as per the requirement of the trust deed. The trust, being an independent entity, has sole responsibility and obligation to utilize the fund for the welfare of the employees of Gravita as per the terms of the trust deed. Based on the independent legal opinion from reputed law firms, management of the company is of the view that the distribution of the or the utilization of gains arising on sale of such shares is not an expense. The surplus or gain is considered as other liability in the balance sheet of the trust and the consolidated financial statements. Further, it is to be noted that it is just an issue of interpretation and has no impact on the net worth of the company, and the accounting treatment has been done appropriately in the financial statements. In conclusion, I wish to highlight that Gravita is making significant strides towards realizing its ambitious Clear Vision 2028. Our focus on diversifying into new business verticals like lithium ion, steel and paper, aiming for revenue CAGR exceeding 25%, profitability growth surpassing 35%, maintaining an ROC of 25% plus, elevating non-led business to over 30%, using 30% plus renewable power and reducing energy consumption by 10% underscores our commitment to sustainable development, increasing the proportion of value-added products to 50%, and proactive risk management through back-to-back hedging will contribute to resilient and sustainable margins. With our DNA of 31 plus years and 12 eco-conscious state-of-art manufacturing facilities across the globe, global footprints in 70 plus countries, integrated supply chain, and which is backed by strict government norms of BWMR and EPR, and robust stakeholder support, we are confident in achieving our Vision 2028. That's all from my end. I would now request to open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Manish.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from line of Mr. Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for taking my question. I have a couple of questions. The first one is on the vision. So earlier it was the vision to 2027, but now in this presentation we see vision to 2028. So just wanted to understand exactly what has changed in the vision, whether we are thinking of delaying certain capex elements or whether the capex is expected to go up further, or there are some risks or challenges that we see that has resulted in this delay of 1 year.
Actually what we are doing is we are doing a rolling 4-year vision. So last year it was 27, so going forward it is vision 2028. We have incorporated some additional landmarks in this vision, especially on ESG front, as I mentioned. And also we have increased certain other landmarks also. For example, in Vision 2027, we are mentioning that the non-led business would be 25%, but in Vision 2028, the non-led business, we have increased the percentage to around 30% plus. So it's in line with the Vision 2027, but we are giving visibility for 1 year further.
Okay, wonderful. Got it, actually. So that will be like next year to be Vision 2029 then with some possibly more things added. Okay, understood. The second question is that since we are working with MCX and there has been some kind of, circular also being floated on inclusion of ABC-12 perhaps for the, so that would facilitate hedging. And does this also mean that our aluminium capacity, particularly at India operations, now since we have got a good hedging thing, so that capacity utilization would also improve? If so, possible to share some numbers where we can, what we can see once the hedging is active actually on MCX.
Yes, correct. Last year we had only capacity utilization of 11% in case of ABC-12. So this year we plan to increase it once these get implemented, and we expect that it should be, the derivative should list somewhere in next quarter, and then brand empanelment will start. So maybe in Q4 we have certainly growing volume, and next year further we'll foresee the volume growth and capacity utilization to higher levels.
So this is basically the capacity utilization of Indian plants.
But yeah, overall it was around 37% for the group as a including the overseas business.
Yes, sir. Possible to give us an idea what could be the exit rate of capacity utilization in FY25, the exit rate of your Aluminium India operations?
Aluminium India operations should touch around 65 to 70%.
Okay, that should be the exit rate, and then that would be the broad base, going forward.
Yes. And there will be further capacity addition also we are planning, especially for our country in Ghana.
Okay. Great. Okay, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubhmangal Nevatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. And also thanks for clarifying the accounting treatment, which was kind of highlighted in the notes. So my first question is on the ongoing Red Sea issue. It was good to see some growth despite the logistic issues which are continuing. Is it possible to share what sort of alternate arrangements we are doing, and do we return back to our normal growth of around 20% plus from FY25 onwards?
Yeah, this is Vijay Parikh, and I look after the international as well as domestic marketing. So whatever logistic issues was there with respect to this Suez Canal issue, we addressed that particular issue while diverting the volumes to other geographies. Although we are having the customer base around the globe, so wherever we were encountering the problem, we diverted the volumes to other geographies without affecting the volume growth.
So there was some impact on the volumes in the quarter three, but now the we have already started shifting the volumes to from quarter three onwards. So now we think the normal the volume level from the base for the quarter four is the base for the growth of another 25% in the next year.
Okay, and what are we compromising or sacrificing when we are diverting? Is it some at the expense of slightly lower margins?
Yes. Or, so the margins would be affected, but not that much because we also use some arbitrage opportunities. Some of this is getting diverted into India where the realization is a little better. But of course, the working capital cycle takes a hit whenever we you do some diversification. So it's more towards increase in working capital cycle and less on EBITDA per ton margins.
Understood. And I mean, was it completely resolved in fourth quarter, or it was more of a gradual thing and one Q should see further improvement?
No, in times to come, once the situation gets normalized, then we will be again using the similar customers. But yes, we have the flexibility also with the customers for diverting the volumes. So till now, effect is there, although some part of the impact has been nullified, but yes, the issue is going on.
So again, working capital part, which we are lacking at this moment, that will be improved further after this situation is further resolved.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that was my actually the second question. The working capital has increased, whereas our guidance has been we should gradually move towards 60-65 days. So is it possible to share some more detail? Why was this increase, and do we see it normalizing in 1Q or in FY25 overall?
Yeah, so if you see that, I mean, part of the sales that was to happen in Q3 happened in Q4. So you would see a lot of receivables that has gone up. But as we sit right now, there has been a reduction in receivables by around 100-125 crores. So it's only a temporary thing. I mean, so the overall inventory levels are in line, although they are a little, not exactly as per the targets that we have envisaged, but once these things normalize, I think we'll be back to the same issue. I mean, we will be back to the same target of reducing the inventory levels. Also, there is another thing that has happened is that this year we have not taken as much domestic scrap simply because the overseas scrap was much cheaper compared to the domestic scrap, as there was some arbitrage opportunities. Overseas market was lower compared to Indian markets. So we bought more international scrap as compared to domestic scrap. So that has also contributed to increased working capital cycle. Although it's a more profitable business, so we have gone and taken more international scrap. So once this arbitrage opportunities, which in this quarter has almost normalizes, then again the domestic scrap will increase and the overall inventory cycle would reduce.
I hope we have answered your query, Sumangal.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash from Stallion. Please go ahead.
Order book equal to next quarter revenue.
Can't hear you properly, sir.
So we can't hear you properly.
The current participant line has been disconnected. The next question is from the line of Hemant from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So thank you for providing me the opportunity. So just, I have only one question. We have provided revenue growth somewhere between 25% and PAT growth of 25%, right? Earlier in our Vision 2027 program, now in Vision 2028.
Your voice is not proper. If you can slightly speak louder.
Yeah, sure. So we have provided the revenue number as well as the PAT number. It was under the Vision 2027 program and now under 2028 program. So it was 25% revenue growth and 35% PAT growth. But if I take a look at the FY24 numbers, I don't think that the revenue numbers have grown by 25% and the PAT numbers have grown by 35%. Is there any specific reason for that?
Yes, sir. So actually, when we there are two, three reasons. First of all, when we mention this 25% CAGR, it's a long-term guidance and it's not a short-term guidance. So there would be years when we would grow faster than 25% and then there would be years when the growth would not be in line with 25%. So if you look at the past 5 years, the revenue growth is 21% and the PAT growth is 74% CAGR level. This year was also affected by some logistic issues in quarter three, which has impacted the growth rate to some extent. And we are very confident that going forward, our vision of 2028 of long-term CAGR growth of 25% and PAT growth of 35% is achievable.
So, sir, can we expect that the growth numbers in terms of percentage FY25 over FY24 should be higher than the growth in terms of percentage in FY24 compared to FY23?
Yes, we are optimistic of achieving higher growth, but we would stick to the 25% CAGR growth for the next 4 years. So that is the bottom line. So maybe this year probably would grow maybe 30% also. It can grow at 25% also. But definitely 25% is the minimum growth rate that we can expect in the next year. It would be probably above 25%, but that is the bottom line.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Bangaria from Lucky Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers in somewhat difficult circumstances. Two questions on the P&L. One is, if you could just give us a sense of the drop in the employee cost that we have seen on a quarter-on-quarter or even a year-on-year basis.
Yeah, so basically the employee cost includes some part of incentives also. So, and the incentive, if we have already, so we make provisions for incentives on a YTD basis. So, whatever targets we have achieved, that has been already provisioned for in Q3. So, there was higher number for Q3 because we have provisions slightly higher, expecting some better numbers in Q4. But because we could not achieve, the growth could not achieve, so then the incentive part is reduced. So accordingly, so this incentive is a variable factor which keeps on changing every quarter or so that is the reason, only reason where employee cost is lower in quarter four as compared to quarter three, because the provision for incentive are higher in quarter three.
Okay. And so the second question was on the tax rate. From what we can see in the presentation, the contribution of the Indian operations to the overall PAT is now much higher. In fact, it is almost 3x of what it used to be in 2 years back. FY22, Indian operations were 25% of PAT. Now, this year, it is selling almost 75% of PAT. But our tax rate seems to be low. To my limited understanding, the tax rates were low because of the contribution of the African operations to the PAT. So, some sense there, please.
So, actually, if you look at the total numbers, some of the, because there were some arbitrage opportunities in India, because of which we have diverted some of the materials from the African operations into India, and also because of this Red Sea situation, also some of the material from the East African operations was diverted into India. And so the overall increase in EBITDA margins in that, if you see, that as
as against 19 rupees per ton, we have increased EBITDA numbers, and that has contributed to the increase in the overall profitability from India.
No, so my question was more related to the tax rate. I mean, assuming India works at a nominal tax rate and Africa works at a much more subsidized or probably very, very low tax rate,
mm-hmm.
if the profit contribution from India is this high, I would have assumed that the tax rate should have been higher. So, but the tax rates have not gone higher. They remain in that 10-12% range. So that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, so basically in India also we have tax advantage in Chittoor, where we are enjoying 100% tax exemption. So whatever profit contribution is from Chittoor, that is 100% tax-free. So because whenever we are importing certain goods from Africa to India, that is majorly processed in Chittoor itself. So that is the reason we have the higher margins in Chittoor, and which is tax-free entity. So tax percentage has not gone up because of this issue.
But Chittoor has some special, you know, tax exemption under some government.
Yeah, ADIA exemption for Chittoor.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sabri from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So I have two questions. Firstly, regarding this BWMR regulation, so it's been like 1 year now. So how has been the experience? Have we seen share of organized volumes in the industry going up? And what is the expectation for the next 1 year in terms of implementation of this?
Yes, so after implementation of this, the next stage was EPR was the additional thing which was created under this regulation. So now the central portal has started working. The producers has been registered, and recycler also getting registered. And the EPR certificate for the financial year 22-23 are also in the process of generation by various recyclers. The next stage is the EPR penalty. So for non-compliances, those numbers are yet to be released. So there are meetings going between the producers and recyclers. So we hope by next quarters, the EPR penalties will come. So that will create a financial model. So that will be the second stage. So certainly, the numbers are growing. The producers are getting them registered, and they will be diverting more material to formal sector.
So some of the manufacturers or the brand owners are basically waiting and watching. But once these penalties
decided,
so then probably those who are watching also will start implementing this waste management. So overall, we believe that after this first quarter, when the penalties are decided, there will be even further increase from the current levels also.
Right now, it's at 35%, or is it like higher or lower?
So it would be, say, I mean, there is definitely some increase, so it would be around 40% currently the organized sector would have increased.
40% versus, say, 35% couple of years back, right?
Yeah, but you must understand that overall, in the first year, the requirement is also only 30%. So it will only gain traction once the 50% or 70% and then 90% of the total volume that has to be recycled would come into play. So 30% is not that difficult. But now from 30 to 50%, if they want to do it in the second year, then people will start going for more from the retail.
Right, sir. Got it. And second question is on this depreciation. So it has increased. So which are the plants or capex which has been expensed this quarter?
Yeah, basically major expansion we did it in Mundra. So which has started Mundra and Togo. Togo was a new facility. So these are the two new plants. Also, we have shifted the new facility in Senegal. So that's also, although the capacity is not changed significantly, but yes, there is the plant was totally new. So there is a reason there is a higher depreciation in this year.
Was there any working capital impact from this also?
Not that much. Actually, CapEx is only a small part. Most of the working capital cycle is affected by higher inventories or payables and receivables, etc.
No, I mean this new plants having new inventories, so anything of that sort?
No, not that much.
So this was basically due to new markets only and Red Sea disruption by the working capital sub.
Yes.
Right. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Janesh Kharia from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is again on the depreciation part. So on a sequential basis also, like the earlier participant mentioned, there is a very sharp jump in depreciation, and also on the annual basis, the average rate of depreciation turns out to be around 7.5 to 8% of the gross block, compared to around 6.5% in the last year. So what should be the annual depreciation rate we should be seeing going forward, and is there any change in depreciation policy that we have taken?
Yeah, slightly. There was higher depreciation because of as we discussed that the new facility, in, especially in Africa, there the depreciation rates are slightly higher. So we started two new facilities in Africa, Senegal and Togo. So, but going forward, the depreciation rate, as we do more capex in India, so that the depreciation rate will come down to same levels as we were earlier.
Okay, that's helpful. Secondly, is on the EBITDA per ton for the aluminium segment. So currently we are doing approximately 14 to 15 rupees per kg, sorry, 12 to 13 rupees per kg of EBITDA per EBITDA for aluminium segment. Going forward, once the MCX hedging is in place, what do we see the stabilized EBITDA for aluminium segment?
So in this quarter, the annual number for aluminium per ton is around 12,000 rupees. But for this quarter four, we realized around 15 rupees per kg. So that 15 to 16 rupees per kg is the fair estimate of going forward EBITDA per ton for aluminium.
Okay, and this is at the current utilization levels, 15-16. So as the utilization levels improve, is there a possibility of per kg EBITDA improving, or 15-16 will remain constant?
So 15-16, 15 to 16 is the range. So we can reach to slightly towards 16 if this capacity utilization goes improved in this year.
So next is, if you can just help us with the domestic scrap collection for India plants for the fourth quarter.
So domestic scrap collection for India is in this year, fourth quarter is approximately 40% for the Indian scrap requirement.
Okay, that's helpful. I come back in the queue for a few more questions. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praful Siddharth from Shravas Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So could you please throw more light on your interpretation of Ind AS 19 with regard to auditor's qualification? Because based on our understanding of Ind AS 19, this expense is something which needs to be taken to the P&L, not other equity.
Okay, so basically, first we need to understand the transaction which we did, and then in light of the AS. So one, I think we mentioned that there were some equity shares which were held by the trust for the, and the scheme was that the appreciation will be distributed to the distributed or utilized for the benefit of the employees of the Gravita Group. So this was the scheme. So when we sold those shares, there was some gain, and so we because it is a treasury share, so we were not supposed to book the gains in the P&L. It was supposed to go to the equity part, directly to the reserve. And when it came to the distribution or utilization of that amount for the employee benefit, so it was suggested to, auditor have suggested it to be provision for in the employee benefit expenses. But our contention was that since it is a distribution of the income which is not
you know, which is gained from the shares held. So it was not a share-based payment according to the according to our estimate and the opinion, legal opinion we have taken from various law firms. So it was supposed to go to the only the distribution was supposed to go to the reserve only as we did, as it was the treatment for the income also. So income and so what we did is we have considered the income also in the other equity and the provision also in the other equity. So there is a liability standing on the balance sheet and there is a investment which is lying on. So in future there will be distribution of this amount gain to the employees, and then it both of the legs will be squared off. So, but auditors was having a different opinion or interpretation of the accounting standard, and we took our own opinion, including some opinion from EY also. Based on that, we concluded this.
Right. So we took the opinion from EY, sir.
Yes.
Got it. So just one more accounting question. So in FY23, we recognized the forward contract's gain in other income. And in FY22, we recognized the forward contract loss in other expenses. So considering the accounting policy in FY22, don't you think we should have directed the gains from other expenses in FY23 instead of taking it to other income? So why has there been a change in accounting policy here?
So it is like, so what we do is whenever there is a loss of on the hedging, it goes to the other expense. Whenever there is a gain on the commodity hedging, it goes to the other income. So as per this is account as per the accounting standard. But because the hedging is part of the operational transactions or it's in back to back against the physical transaction, so we consider this other income. Other expense is always part of EBITDA, but other income. Normally it is to be excluded from the EBITDA part, but since it is part of our operational income, we consider adjusted EBITDA and we report it in that way, so that we can consider this as the operational income.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Kabra from PK The Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I first wanted to understand that last quarter our EBITDA margins rose up to 11% because, you know, we were diverting to new customers and using the cheaper raw material. This time it's come down to 8%. Can you explain that, how that has happened, and what should we expect in the next couple of quarters from an EBITDA margin perspective?
So basically last year we had mentioned that there were some arbitrage opportunities present in India because of which the EBITDA margins were higher. But this quarter it's not 8%, it's 10.76%. So there was some increase in EBITDA percentage in Q4 last quarter. The EBITDA margins were 11.83%, which was abnormally high because there were some arbitrage opportunities in India and we had diverted that material into India. But you can expect a 9 to 10% EBITDA margins on a sustainable basis going forward.
So maybe in your calculation, as we mentioned, that we are considering this hedging income also as a operational income, which is part of the EBITDA. So if you include that, so this, which is for this quarter four, it is approximately 21 crore. And for the entire full year, it is 47 crore.
Fair enough. Understood.
This EBITDA number will be approximate, EBITDA percentage is approximately 10.76% for quarter four and 10.47% for the full year.
Got it. Understood. So the second question that I've had was that, you know, I understand the Red Sea issue has created some level of issues for us and we have missed our guidance, the long-term guidance, but divided into shorter term, we have missed it this year. And next year you have given a guidance on a top line of 25%, but can you break this down like in the sense like what are we expecting next quarter? Or is this also going to, this 25% growth is also going to be backloaded towards this third and fourth quarter, or can we start expecting that from the first quarter itself?
So part of this growth you can start expecting from first quarter itself. So it will not be too much towards the last quarter. So I mean, quarter-on-quarter basis, generally, it's very difficult to give you any guidance. But definitely, it's between 20%-30% throughout the year, unless something strange happens again. I mean, like, if everything remains normal, you can expect a 20%-30% growth rate on a quarter-to-quarter basis.
But even for quarter one, it is too difficult to give guidance because we're sitting in quarter one, right?
Yeah, so you can expect, as I mentioned, you can expect 20%-30% growth rate in the first quarter also.
Got it. And aluminum business, now that from what I understand, that we were holding back only because of inability to hedge. Now that the hedging is going to be possible in Q1, what kind of volume growth or, you know, top line growth are you expecting for the aluminum business in this quarter or the next quarter?
So the benefit should arrive somewhere around next quarter, because it has been notified in the month of March, but the effective contract should start somewhere in next quarter, and the physical delivery thing should happen in further Q3. So we should expect this advantage of hedging somewhere around Q3 onwards. So as we mentioned, that Indian utilization was lower, that was only 11%. That should go to 60% after Q3 and Q4. So that number will come. Certainly, whatever we did last year in aluminum business, that will grow at least by 60%-70% in terms of volumes, because we are also adding capacity at certain locations, at Ghana, that should operational in beginning of the Q2.
Got it. So just to repeat and make sure I understood correctly, from last year to this year, in volume terms, aluminum business should see a 60%-70% growth?
Yes.
All right, perfect. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from line of Ankit from Market Core Research Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is, in terms of extreme cold response certificate, right, what percentage of volume in India are you generating this year?
Sorry to interrupt, sir. May I request you to please use your handset?
Okay, so my question is, what is the EPD certificate which we have generated in India already, which is eligible for sale?
Yes, we have generated EPR certificate for lead-acid batteries, for plastics. So these data are already available on the portal. So you want the number, the quantities?
Yes, I want the number and quantity, and what is the sales we realize of that?
See, the realization will take place later once we start trading them. So we have generated, and wherever we took material from the producer, in that case, those will be given in turn, because the material is being given by that particular battery manufacturer to us. So that will be traded in lieu of the material given. For the rest of the producers, whenever they will come to fulfill their liability of EPR, then this will be traded. So the fair price will come out whenever there is a penalty is finalized. So that we foresee in next quarter. So as of now, the financial numbers cannot be, it's not available, because let us see what number it comes.
What is the volume against which we have EPR generated, right? Because that is
around 24,000
last.
24,000.
For 2023-24.
For 22-23.
23.
23 is around 25,000 tons.
What percentage of it is for lead?
This is for lead only.
This is for lead.
And plastics numbers are different. As of, it's not readily available, but we can certainly share.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Mistry from Moonshot Venture. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Yogesh, I have a couple of questions. Last quarter, we are losing some of the tolling business. So can you quantify in this quarter how much we are losing on tolling business, and how we can be so sure that there will be strong rebound in the next quarter?
So, I would like to just correct you a little bit, that we are not losing the tolling business, but we have decided to rely more on international battery, because there were some arbitrage opportunities in last quarter, where Indian prices were higher,
So it was more beneficial for the company to import batteries instead of using the domestic batteries. But in this quarter, we have increased the total quantity that has come up. So overall, if you talk about in the Indian import and domestic procurement, we have increased the procurement by 22% last year. But we have imported more than we have used the domestic batteries. But in the last quarter, if you look at it, we have, again started using domestic batteries, and it's around 12,000 tons of domestic battery that we have bought this year. So it's, if you compare it with the Q3, which was around 10,000 tons, so it's around 20% growth over Q3 in the last quarter for domestic batteries.
Okay, okay. You want to say that whatever the red juice is there, you have you are not materially impacted from here on. That's what you want to say.
No, no, Red Sea is basically an impact on the sales of our products from India to and East Africa to Europe. It has not impacted the import of battery scrap into India, because from we are importing from America and from Africa. There it is. There is no impact of Red Sea on import of battery scrap into India, or very little impact of battery scrap into India.
Okay, so you are fairly confident that the volume growth will come back in Q1.
Yes. So as I mentioned, that we have the total procurement growth in India is 22% last year.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it comes from domestic or it comes from international, the overall growth in battery scrap is 22%.
Mm-hmm.
So we always look at the best option to buy it. So if the import prices are lower, then we buy international battery, and if the domestic prices are more viable, then we increase the battery procurement locally.
Okay, okay. My last question is that we have said that we are going to through MCX with this aluminium alloy. So how much of our portfolio is still, after doing this, how much of our portfolio is still unhedged?
So after, if we start doing hedging on aluminium, only plastic remains unhedged, but otherwise lead and aluminium would be 100% hedged.
Okay, aluminium, all other alloys will be hedged, only to ADC-12 will be hedged.
ADC-12 is around 90% of the total aluminium alloy that we make.
Okay, okay, that's all from
me. And the prices of other alloy also move in tandem with the ADC-12 prices. So you can hedge ADC-12 and then still have some amount of hedging for other alloys as well.
So just to clarify, lead is fully hedged at this moment, but aluminium is partly hedged, just because we don't have, at this moment, we don't have the hedging mechanism in place. But as mentioned, that whenever we have that platform of MCX, we will be doing 100% hedging for aluminium also.
Currently, we do some hedging of aluminium, which are on LME, but that's a non-ADC product.
Okay, okay, okay. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tia Brijwani from White Whale Partners. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So my question was on the regulation bit. If I compare the 2001 regulation versus the 2022, 2001 also had some guidelines around, let's say, for the producer. They had the responsibility to collect that, let's say, 50% of the new battery sold. So and things didn't change materially after that in terms of like informal shares still remained high. So my question is, what is fundamentally different in the 2022 regulations, which would basically divert the ULAPs from the retailers versus what was there in 2001? So am I reading this correct, and what's your view on that?
Yeah. So you clearly told correctly, when it came in 2001, the percentage they were to collect was 70, 80, 90 and 100 by next 4 years. But the regulation which was applicable on everyone. All 100,000s of retailers were also part of that regulations. They were to file return, but effectiveness was not there, because if you apply the regulation on and thousands of people or lakhs of people, it will not be effective. So there was one more change was brought in 2010, where bulk customers were added. So slightly from bulk customer side, the battery or scrap was generated and it was coming in the system. But in this regulation of 2022, two things were the major. Here, the regulation has been effect. It will be on producers only. So here you have to regulate few people. In case of lead acid battery, there are 10 or 15 major producer of batteries. So it is easy to implement the regulation. Second part, EPR. In old regulation, there was no responsibility. So there was no EPR. There is no EPR penalty. So these two things will change the landscape of regulation.
Got it. So just to follow up on that, let's say I, as a retailer, I'm getting a higher price from the informal guys just because they don't follow the compliance norms, or let's say there's GST evasion and stuff. But you're saying that this 2022 regulation, will it enable us to come at par with those prices? Because retailers were the main point of leakage of these used labs. So are you alluding to that?
Yeah, so one of the premise of putting the onus on the brand owners is that they can control the supply chain. So most of the batteries, new batteries, wherever the new batteries are sold, they are sold, and replacement of the old batteries are done at the same place. So the premise is that whenever you need a new battery, you will get an old battery in lieu of that new battery. So if the brand owners, battery manufacturers like Amara Raja and Exide, they can... because they control the supply chain, they can put pressure on these retailers to give back the old battery. Only then they will give the new battery to them. Then they can, to some extent, control and reduce the number of batteries going to the unorganized channel. That is first part. And once they start doing it, probably the channel will follow. So hopefully it will start having impact in the future. And of course, there are other things also that is happening, because GST is being implemented in a proper manner. The government is getting stricter in terms of GST evasion and all those things. So these are also some of the policies that are helping this shift from unorganized to organized.
Okay, cool. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kush Nahar from Electrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question was, what was our domestic scrap collection for Indian operations as a percentage?
So for quarter four, it was
40%. Okay. And so in the presentation, I see that there is this Australia which has been added in terms of a procurement network. So what's the strategy there? Are we looking at new products over there, or is it the existing verticals only that we're expanding the network for?
Yeah, so we have started sourcing, developing some vendor network in Australia also, and we have started sourcing some battery scrap from Australia. And in future, we are thinking of putting up some our own yards also in Australia.
Okay, sir. And so just one last question on the EBITDA margins after the aluminium hedging. What would be the sustainable EBITDA per kg we can guide across all three segments?
For aluminium, you're talking about 15 to 16 rupees.
Yeah, and the other two, lead and plastic also?
So lead, we expect to 18 to 19 rupees per kg, and for plastic, 10 to 11 rupees per kg.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in line of Basant Patel from TCGM AMC. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just one question on the domestic front industry scenario. Even Amara Raja is also getting into 1 lakh tons of the lead recycling capacity. So even if excise this segment recycling lead capacity, so don't you feel the domestic would be more pressure to procure the raw materials, battery components and all? So how do you feel this?
So the opportunity itself is huge. Currently, if you look at the total capacities in the organized sector, they are not capable to fulfill the entire requirement. So every battery manufacturer, just because he has to comply with the new regulations, would have to find solutions. So part of it is going to come from contract manufacturing with companies like us, organized recyclers, and part of it is going to come by their own internal capacities. So I think it's going to, it's not, it, the, because the opportunity itself is so huge that even if their
capacities come, it will not overall impact growth that we have envisaged for the next 4-5 years.
Yeah. Okay. So whatever you procure from Amara Raja, that is going to be lost going ahead. Is that you can?
So basically, what is going to happen is that Amara Raja is only putting up a plant in South, but they sell this battery everywhere in India. So we have plants in North, we have plants in Central India, we have plants in West India. So wherever the battery is getting sold in these regions, they would come to either us or companies like us. The specific benefit that we have is that we can process it in the northern plants, and then we can give the finished products to Amara Raja from the south plant itself. So that gives us an advantage over the competition. So and similarly, there are other battery manufacturers also. If this gets implemented, only two of the big players like Exide or Amara Raja are the players who can put up their own plant or who can buy these batteries. The smaller players would also need partners like us. So there is a huge opportunity there also, when these small players who do not have that much clout on the supply chain, they would need a partner like us to collect that battery from the retailers and then process it and then give it back to them. So that would be other requirement that will come up. So overall, if you look at the total capacity, the plant that they are putting is not even 20% of the total capacity in India, Exide and Amara Raja currently.
Yes, that is correct. So industry opportunity is huge largely. So that will not be a threat for us actually.
Yes.
Sir, one more thing actually, I missed the one part that you were commenting on the lead procurement from India would be more expensive than lead what you are going to procure from outside for the recycling material outside India. What is that statement, sir? Can you please?
It's basically India market moves independent to the international markets. So sometimes there is a scenario where Indian markets are much higher. During those times, it makes more sense for us to bring international material into India, process it in India, and then supply to the Indian market, rather than procuring it in India. So there is an arbitrage opportunity during those times, which was in the Q3 and part of Q4. So we take benefit of whenever those arbitrage opportunities arise. So that is why you will see that the overall EBITDA margins was also higher in Q3, because imported batteries were cheaper. But these opportunities are not continuous. So there would be certain times in the year when you will have these opportunities. Otherwise, the best way to deal is whenever you have Indian requirement, you buy Indian material and give it to Indian buyers, and the international market, you buy international material and supply to the international markets. Am I clear in this?
I'm clear, yeah. So in Q4, actually, if you look at the...
Sorry to interrupt. Due to time constraint, we would like to move on to the next question. I would request Mr. Bhattan to follow up in the queue. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Mehrotra from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are, sir.
So just a quick question on your CapEx numbers. So I was just looking at the CapEx you had guided for in your previous presentation versus the new presentation. And I see that the FY24 CapEx is actually much smaller than we had guided in the past. So can you just explain what sort of projections we are altering? What is the progress on our new verticals and so on, and how should we look at this CapEx? Will it be majorly back-ended towards FY26-27? What are your views on that, sir?
Yeah. So, yes, you're right. Some of the CapEx that we had planned for the new verticals, especially lithium-ion battery recycling, we were not able to do that in last year, and it spilled over to this year. And you will see that coming up in this year, the lithium-ion facility in Mundra. And part of that, from the existing vertical, part of it was to put up a new facility for aluminium recycling in Mundra.
which was also delayed because we were not having any hedging mechanism, so we did not want to put new capacity, because until the hedging mechanism is there, we did not want to go into putting up a capex that, so we realized that later. So we changed our strategy a little bit and we started putting up capacities of aluminium recycling overseas. But now once this hedging mechanism is live, then we may start thinking about putting up this capacity again. So these are two major factors that affected the capex plans.
Understood, sir. And what about the progress on the new divisions which we were sort of overseeing, the paper and the steel parts?
So paper is also, we had also mentioned that paper and steel would probably come in financial year 26 and 27. So we are in line. We are doing our due diligence due diligence. It will take some time, probably second quarter of this year the due diligence will be completed, and then we'll start on capex for these two new verticals also.
Meanwhile, we are more focused for this year. We are more focused on rubber, expansion of rubber, and putting up a lithium ion first plant in India.
Focused on expansion in rubber, you mean for the Indian plants or the African plants? Sir?
So it would be basically, so far what we have done in rubber is for captive consumption. So these would be standalone rubber plants in India, both for gum rubber and for pyrolysis oil.
Okay, so we also plan to sell them externally, if my understanding is correct.
Yes.
Got it, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you everyone for participating in this call. We trust that we have addressed all your inquiries during the session. However, if there are any remaining questions, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team. Once again, we extend our gratitude to all the participants for joining us today. Thank you and have a great day.
On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.